Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 8. Let's stand together as we begin at verse 35, Luke chapter 8. This is one of my favorite portions of the gospel narrative that we'll be discussing today, and we hope that it'll be a blessing to you also. But beginning at verse 35, then they went out to meet what was done, or see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man. Now, the man was the one we discussed last week, the one that had demons, and we'll discuss that in a moment, to see what was done, and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country, the Gadarenes round about, besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went up into the ship and returned back again. Now the man out of whom the devils were departed besought him that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, Return to thine own house, and show how great things God hath done unto thee. And he went his way and published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet, and besought him that he would come into his house, for he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the blessings of this day. And Lord, may we come not just to sing a couple of songs, but Lord, may we come to sing songs of praise. May we not come just for an offering, but Lord, to give to you cheerfully. And Lord, may we not come just to hear the word of God, but maybe to understand it and to live it. And may we say when we leave, it was good to have been in the house of the Lord today. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. In Luke 8, 26 through 39, we had the story of the man named Legion, for he was possessed with a legion of demons. We noted his dreadful condition, for he was shameless. We found that he wore no clothes. He was friendless as he lived in the tombs. He was helpless. He was driven by the devil. We noted his attitude towards Christ, fear. He cried out and fell before him. He was in opposition, for he said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most, or Son of God Most High? But then we hear his plea, I beseech thee, torment me not, saying this to the Creator. We note his deliverance. The man confessed as he declared that he was possessed by many demons. There was freedom. He was found sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And we find that he went bearing witness of his freedom. It says that he published throughout the whole city how great things Jesus had done unto him. Now, we discussed this last week, which brings us to verse 40, which is kind of an interesting verse. There are different thoughts as to where verse 40 fits in this sequence of events. Let's read verse 40 again. And it came to pass that when Jesus was returned, the people gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. Who are the they? Now, as you're reading this, are the they of the Gadarenes, who compelled Jesus to leave their region, and later, hearing of the testimony of the formerly possessed man, welcomed Jesus back? Or was it the people on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, from where Jesus and his disciples had been ministering before they took that very interesting and eventful cruise in which Jesus had to calm the seas? Both theories are very good preaching material. For no matter which group of people it was, we read that they gladly received him, for they were all waiting for him. I believe we need to be waiting for our Lord. We need to be prepared for his return. We know that he's coming back. He told us in John, I've gone to prepare a place for you, and I will come again. We find that the trumpet will blow and he will come. We live in a world that is not looking for Jesus, though, to return. But how interesting, not only is the world not looking for Jesus to return, many Christians aren't living their lives as if Jesus could return. Many Christians are watching the wrong programs. Their language is wrong. That they don't care a snap of their fingers about the things of Christ. I find it interesting that some people are more interested in the defeat of the Detroit Tigers than they are about people dying and going to hell. I find that some parents are more interested in the defeat of the Detroit Tigers than they are in the spiritual condition of their children. May I say this? They gladly received him, and they were waiting for him. We should be excited about the fact of seeing Christ. But let's begin reading now at verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had one only daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went, the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any. I want you to imagine this in your mind's eye. There are two stories that are going to be happening here, and they're going to be crossing one another. We find 12 mentioned twice. There's a 12-year-old girl, and there's a woman ill with a blood ailment, making her unclean for 12 years. We find there came a man. Now, can you see this man? This man who has this weight of concern upon him. Can you see him? His daughter, his only daughter. From the way it's worded, we think probably his only child. His only child is laying at the point of death. He was a ruler of the synagogue, but I'm sure he'd have given that up for the healing of his daughter. Either he was a married man or had been, for he had one child, a daughter, and to be the ruler of a synagogue, he would have had to have been married. And this daughter, you know how parents, you love your children, and you'd be glad to take their ailment. His daughter was sick unto death, for she was laying a dying. Now get this, he came to Jesus, the ruler of the synagogue. The one that is used to having people come to him and to praise him and ask what they could do for him, he came to Jesus and, falling at his feet, asked for assistance. Ponder that. In your mind, see this man burdened with the sickness of his daughter. So there came a man. Now the people thronged him. They want to touch Jesus. They want to be near Jesus. They want to see Jesus. People, the humanity and the inhabitants of the area. Jesus at this point in time in his ministry is very popular. He makes all the headlines. He's the lead stories on the news broadcasts. He's the honored guest. People want Jesus. It would not remain that way. Jesus' preaching would become harder. He would demand more. You know, a lot of people like the easy Christianity. They don't like the hard Christianity. But we find that at this point in time, the people thronged him. So there's a man, there's the throng, now a woman. Not just any woman, a woman with an illness. Maybe she looks pale. Maybe she's having a hard time moving. She's had a blood ailment for 12 years. It makes her ceremonially unclean. And if she touched anybody or they touched her, they would also become ceremonially unclean. This woman had an issue of blood. It says 12 years. Can you imagine being sick 12 years? And maybe you have been. Maybe you've had an ailment for 12 years. It becomes wearing upon you. She had spent all her living. It's amazing what we will do for relief and health. I was listening the other day to a man, and he was talking about the needs to eat more healthy. And it talked about the fact that a lot of our problems is not what we eat, it's what we're not eating. And it talked about the fact that when we have a headache, we take an aspirin. And he asked this question, did you have a headache because you didn't have enough aspirin? And I thought it was very interesting. We take an aspirin for the headache when really the headache is telling you have a problem. But we don't take care of the problem. We take something to mask the problem. This woman had gone looking for relief. She'd spent all her living at the hands of physicians, which, if I remember correctly, Dr. Mark, they often say they're practicing medicine. And what may help one person does not necessarily help another person. And can you see her going to a physician and explaining the problem? And maybe the physician would say, well, if you do this or if you do that, and she was willing to try anything. But nothing for the better. Then she comes up with a plan. You ever come up with a plan to get something done? Now, ladies, I'm not going to say that you're all schemers. I hear a laugh down here. But I know this, there are times when I come up with a scheme to try to get something done. And I sometimes try to get Donna to understand why I want that to be done. And sometimes she figures out that I'm just scheming. And then she just smiles at me. She comes with a plan. She's heard about this Jesus. She's heard about this one that has gone about healing people. And she puts her plan into motion. Now she believes this, if she confesses her illness, he will have nothing to do with her. I mean, after all, he's a holy man. Why would he want to do or have anything to do with her who's been sick for 12 years with this blood problem? We've all said, ooh, don't touch me. You remember being in school and you didn't want to have, do you remember what that word is? Cooties. You didn't want to have cooties. That's right. We used to have a man and a wife that came to church here. And he would never touch handrails. He never would touch handrails. You say, well, why? He says, they're dirty. Oh, one time we went out to eat with them, and we were going to sit down at a table, and he called his wife by name, and he says, "Oh, we can't touch that one. It's greasy." You know, so there are times in which we don't want to touch something because we think it's going to make us dirty. This woman believed if she confessed her illness, Christ would have nothing to do with her. So she comes up from behind and touches his garment. Notice verse 44. Came behind him and touched the border of his garment. That was her plan. To come up and just to touch him. Notice it says at the end of verse 44, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. Immediately, the problem that she had was no more. Staunched does not mean stopped, but means constant, stable, faithful, dependable. Whatever problem she had where she was losing blood, she no longer was losing it. My mother-in-law just recently had a pacemaker put in. Her heart rate had dropped below 30. There was concern for her health. The hospital was able to get it back up to about 50, and they were able to put in a pacemaker. And I would imagine, Donna, your mother feels better. Well, why would she feel better? Well, the heart is pumping the way it should. The way it should. Some people have a heart transplant, and one of the first things they say is, "Wow, I feel better. I feel better." We find that immediately she was healed. But then comes a question. There's a question. Let's begin reading at verse 43 again. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, "Master, the multitude throng thee and press thee, when thou sayest, who touched me?" And Jesus said, "Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue is gone out of me." Who touched me? See, Jesus knew the difference between the people bumping up against him and shaking his hand and patting him on the back and thanking him for different things, and this touch, the touch of need. The touch of need. You know, we've come in here this morning, and some of you are in definite need. Some of you have come because you know you want to sing the songs, and you want to give, and you want to hear the preaching, but you really aren't going through any rough time right now, but some of you are going through some very difficult times. Some of you are struggling with some issues in your life, and you are in a place of need, and you're hoping that the Lord can be a blessing and an encouragement to you. We find here, who touched me? Peter and the others chide Jesus. Can you imagine chiding Jesus? Can you imagine telling Jesus, what's wrong with you? And yet some people do that today. That they question the fact that God has a divine will. That they question the fact that bad things happen and they blame God. They never blame the devil. They always blame God. They chide him for things that happened. Jesus said, virtue has gone out. There is the virtue of a holy, blameless, God-pleasing life. There is the virtue of an all-atoning, substitutionary death. There is the virtue of an all-conquering resurrection. And only Jesus has this virtue. Through sin, man has lost his virtue. For all have sinned in what? Come short of the glory of God. Because of sin, there is death. Because of sin, there is sickness. Because man sinned, and sin has brought evil into society. But confession is good for the soul. Confession is good for the soul. Verse 47. And when the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. See, the woman knew she couldn't hide. She knew that Jesus realized someone had touched her. Do you think that Jesus knew without asking who had touched him? I believe that. I believe that Jesus knew when she was in the crowd. I think that Jesus slowed down enough so that she could touch him. See, I believe that Jesus wants us to come to him. And he wants us to come to him boldly, not afraid. She could not hide. She came trembling and fell down at the feet of Jesus and declared all, her illness, her fears, her plans, her actions, and now her healings. Let's read verse 48 for the response. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Go in peace. Now wait a minute. Your mind has been distracted by me from the original person who had come. Do you remember the man with the sick daughter? See, we've been talking about the woman with the blood issue for a few minutes here, and in the back of our mind, we still have it lodged back there, but it's in the back of our mind. Well, let's bring it to the front of the mind. Can you imagine this father who wants Jesus to hurry up and to heal his daughter? His daughter is laying at the point of death. And now this woman, who's been sick for 12 years, has gotten in the way. Can you imagine Jairus, who probably is used to getting his way, ruler of the synagogue, well-respected? And here's this woman who's had problems. Why now? Why now? You know how it is when someone interrupts you in your plans? Have you ever been talking to somebody, you finally got their attention, and you're beginning to explain something, and somebody walks up and distracts them, and you think, oh. Maybe you've been at a store, and you've been waiting to talk to someone who knows something in the store. Sometimes that's awful hard to find. But you finally find a clerk that seems to know what's going on, and you're explaining your problem, and somebody comes over and interrupts, and you're thinking, wait a minute, I was here first. Now, none of you would ever want to punch that person, would you? Yeah, sometimes you just think, wait a minute. Ugh. But see him. But wait. Someone's coming from his house. Someone's coming from his house, and it doesn't look good. Notice verse 49. While he yet spake, that being Jesus, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, thy daughter is dead. Trouble not the master. That'd be hard, wouldn't it? Maybe you're thinking, if this woman hadn't stopped the procession, we'd have gotten there in time. This daughter that probably he has been trying to help for weeks and months, probably by having physicians and come in and work with her, is now gone. You that are parents that have lost a child, you realize just how hard that is to lose a child. There's a picture out there on the table of Diana Sitter. I believe Dad, when Diana died, she was about 12. 13 the next day. Died. I believe she died in your arms. That's right. You were there at the hospital. That was very hard on the Sitters, losing a 12-year-old. Some of you have probably lost a child. Maybe you have known of someone who's lost a child. It's very hard on a parent. Very difficult. Why trouble the master? May I say this, when we go through the difficult times of life, Jesus wants to be there with us. May I say this, the fact that we know Christ doesn't mean that we're not going to go through hard times. See, some people believe that religion is so that we can have all the money we want, and we can have all the good health we want, and we're not going to have any problems. And if we don't have good health, and if we don't have money, and if we do have problems, it's because of a lack of faith. I'd like you to tell that to the Apostle Paul. I'd like you to tell that to Peter. I'd like you to tell that to the hundreds and thousands and maybe millions of Christians who have died for the faith. May I say this? There are problems in life because there is sin in life. And not necessarily your sin, just simply because there is sin. Verse 50. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, "Fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole." Now let me ask you a question. Do you believe this was the only 12-year-old child that died that day in Israel? Most likely not. But we're going to find that she's the only one that's going to be raised from the dead. See, there are times that some people are going to be healed, and there are other times people aren't going to be healed. But that doesn't mean we should discount God's love for us. He still loves us, and he still cares for us. Let's finish the story, verse 51. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter and James and John, and the father and mother of the maiden. And all wept and bewailed her. But he said, "Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth." And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. May I say this, folks, there is two deaths. There is the physical death and there is spiritual death. The more important one is spiritual death. We are all going to die physically. One out of one dies. Now ponder that, one out of one. That means you're going to die physically. But are you spiritually healthy? Do you know the Lord as your personal Savior? And may I say this, there are those who laugh at your faith in Jesus Christ. There are those who will mock you because you believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior. Verse 53 says, and they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out and took her by the hand and called, saying, "Maid, arise." And her spirit came again. And she arose straightway. And he commanded to give her meat. You hear that, Donna? Give her meat. Meat. And her parents were astonished. But he charged them that they should not tell no man what was done. May I ask you a question? He who healed the demon-possessed, and he who healed those that had long-term illness, and he that healed the one announced dead, can he not heal your sin-sick soul? He can heal our sin-sick soul. That's what we have a need of, is that our spiritual soul can be healed. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He saw our need. He went in, as it were, into the slave camp of sin and purchased our freedom. We are redeemed through the precious blood of Christ, for Christ paid the penalty with his blood. Shall we stand together? If you have never accepted Christ as your Savior, we'd love to give you the opportunity to come this morning to the altar at the time of our invitation, and we'd love to be able to show you what one must do to be saved. And if you have been saved and you have drifted from Him, or you have a prayer concern, or there is someone for whom you would like to pray, we'd give you that opportunity to do that also. The altar is here. All are free to come. It's not a place of shame, but it's a place of victory. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so very much for this time and the Word of God. And Lord, we are thankful that you cared for the ruler of the synagogue, but also for the one that could not go into the synagogue because of her issue of blood. And that, Lord, you loved each the same. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. And Lord, we pray you would bless this invitation time. In Jesus' name we pray and with thanksgiving. Amen.